Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we'll be talking with our special guest, Jason Gleaves. He was on the PowerCast 2 years ago, and he wasn't frightened off because he's willing to come back. Of course, our co-host is Tim Swartz. Now, before we get started with our guest this week, I wanted to bring back a little bit of discussion about our guest last week, Raymond Szymanski. A really nice guy. He sent me a copy of one of his books, Swamp Gas, My You Know What. But in any case, he sent me a very nice note about how professional you and I were, Tim. So that's good. And of course, this is the last radio show he's going to do. So therefore, he'll have nothing to say about what we're going to say. I like talking to him, but I think he tended to be a little naive in some respects. Tim, and maybe you agree with me. Number one, this water cooler conversation at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where someone's talking about, you know, UFOs and everything, that struck me as being a little too coincidental. Did you take it seriously or what?
When you have employees at a place like that that aren't necessarily the military, you know what I mean, just, you know, like a lifelong, you know, member of the Air Force or whatever, but, you know, you've got scuttlebutt, and I tell you something, I know that the years that when I worked in television and we would go to the base to do stories, I mean, you know, people who we talked to a lot of times, I mean, UFOs and top secret type of black projects, especially laser weapons, because, you know, that was right at the pinnacle of Reagan's Star War technology push. You know, I mean, you heard all kinds of things like that. So yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you've got people, you know, talking about things like that. Hey, you'd hear about the aliens or, you know, the crashed UFOs. I mean, it seems to me it's par for the course on anybody who works at a government or military facility.
You think, of course, with all the top secret stuff allegedly going on, that they would be reluctant to some extent to talk about such things. But then again, maybe it just fuels an open atmosphere and the powers that be just don't mind. All right, fine, we'll let them do it. Because I guess if they made any aggressive effort to quiet things down, somebody would complain. What are they hiding?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why a lot of these stories that you hear about, you know, so-called ufologists having their lives threatened or shot at or things like that always just kind of makes me go, oh, you know, really? Because that just kind of puts a, you know, like a confirmation bias on what's going on, which, you know, that may be the point, too. You know, it seems to me that the best way to handle a situation like that is just to ignore it. You know, because the more attention that you put on, you know, something like that, then it's going to lead people more and more to be convinced that maybe they're on the right track.
Of course, he brought forth an abductee, Victoria, and told us about her secret. Here, I think the thing that bothered me is that he was too naive about the downsides of hypnotic regression, and some of the people he seems to like have mixed reputation, shall we say.
Yeah, I get the impression from talking to him and reading the book. I got my copy today, so I haven't had a chance really to look into it, is that, you know, it gives you the impression of somebody who is interested in the subject but has really only been involved in it for a short period of time. So, of course, you know, they're going to gravitate towards that low-hanging fruit. And that's the way, you know, this book, I haven't had a chance to read his earlier ones, but that's the way that this one comes across. I mean, you know, it's a lot of the easy cases, so to speak, that automatically, it's like when we were kids and first were drawn to the subject, you know, we naturally kind of latched on to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, and then as years went by and we hopefully tried to learn more about the subject, you know, our minds kind of expanded to other possibilities.
Mind expansion, I remember that well, when I had a mind to expand. Now, in any case here, I guess we should understand his point of view because he's new to the field. And it's not like you have a Consumer Reports for ufology. I mean, we did at one time. There was a site called UFO Watchdog from a guy named Royce Myers. I think he was an existing or former police officer. And I know for about 2 years, we took control of the site, and we were making many updates. But around 2010, 2012, he asked for it back. We gave it to him, and he did very, very few updates. But what he would do is look into the reputation of a well-known person in the UFO field and point out the positives and the negatives around it. We had a whitelist and a blacklist, more or less, like you do with spam email. So that was a really good resource. It's unfortunate he didn't keep it up. But then again, it's still one person's opinion. But it would be helpful because someone coming into the field brand new, doesn't know the ups and downs, hasn't gone through any of this, and they see stuff and they say, oh, okay, this is popular. There must be something to it. This is the real UFO field. And they don't realize how convoluted it is. And it's too bad there isn't that kind of resource, not that I know of, that can help people like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. That was a good site. And, you know, there are others I object to because it seems to be more of a just trying to pin somebody up against the wall that they may not like, pointing out things that, you know, oh, well, he, you know, when he was a teenager, he was caught shoplifting. So, you know, we can't trust anything that he writes about, you know, now 40 years later, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, it always makes me happy when somebody does the proper work and doesn't try to make it a personal vendetta.
Yes, I've seen plenty of those through the years where they take a dislike to you because they disagree. And they nowadays, of course, in the world of Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, they can start and wage an online campaign against somebody. And, you know, I've seen that happen to people like myself. So that's really unfortunate, really sad. But we don't want to talk about all that stuff. We've got a really nice book here called UFO Encounters, Up Close and Personal. Jason Gleaves joins us on the Paracast. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Right, it's evening in the UK. It is kind of the mid to late afternoon here in Arizona. And in Indiana, is it? What time is it there?
It's a little after 5 o'clock.
Ah, yes. I want to go through your book here, Jason, to kind of get the intention with it. In writing this book, did you have a specific goal in mind?
Well, yeah, this book is my third book, and it's completely different to the first two. The first book we spoke of a few years back, the UFO photo, where that's what I do for people all over the world, is analyze images, etc., for people. And then put my findings on my Facebook page, etc., for people to come up with their own opinions of. And then The second book I wrote, The Ufology Umbrella, was a different branch again, where I got more into more depth into the different categories of close encounters, because there's actually 1 to 7 in separate categories. So I go to try to explain this to people who are coming into ufology quite new and want to know a bit more about it.
Let's continue this discussion on the other side with that and your latest book with Gene and Tim and Jason. You're in the Paracast. Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
We We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Jason Gleaves talking about his three books. So we got more to say about the second one before we go into the current one?
If you want, yeah. The second book, like you said, it's the seven separate categories of close encounters. So it breaks them down into more detail to what people probably don't really understand to what is being brought forward, because ufology is progressing all the time. 1, 2, and 3, we call them CE1, CE2, CE3. Well, close encounters of the third kind really came about when Dr. Hynek was a part in the Steven Spielberg movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And again, if breaking down those, it's just basically a sighting. It's what aerial phenomenon sort of described as a source or anything like that, attitude known, modern day tech, that sort of most common type of sight in the CE1. Then the CE2 is witnesses that have been associated known with unknown phenomena that accompany the craft or, you know, whatever they're actually seeing. It could also be crop circles, those type of things, landscape damage, mutilated animals, which, you know, we've heard an awful lot of, and anything interference, electromagnetic interference with vehicles. So, you know, you can break them down into those. And then CE3, which is the close encounter of the third kind, is a visual spotting, you know, and it's basically confirmation of a UFO and going down those. But then, obviously, as ufology has progressed, it, like you said, it's evolving all the time. We've got people being abducted and coming out with their cases and everything, so that is coming under CE4. Which people explain about abductions, you know, having visitations or being taken on board a craft, out-of-body experiences, that type of thing. And then C5 is probably one which people talk an awful lot about recently, is C5, where people go out and having actual contact through some sort of communication with beings, etc. And it can go either way. It can go either from human to an ET or ET to human, either way in that respect. If you go on to C6, which is probably a bit more of a undesirable category, is where inhabitants directly cause injury or death to humans, etc., that type of thing. And the reason under that one really is that where people have reported on retrieved craft, etc., you know, military sources, they've actually retrieved body parts on board. So, you know, it's a bit of a unpleasant category, let's say. And probably the CE7 is probably the most controversial encounter of all, because that's really where we talk about human hybrids, and that's where the extraterrestrials mate with humans, you know, artificial insemination, and they produce human hybrids, which people are, again, talking about in more depth, you know, as recent.
Do you believe that stuff?
Yes. You can talk over the likes of Mary Rodwell in Australia, and she's had an awful lot of dealings with people who have contacted her through a CERN, which is her, you know, the foundation she set up in Australia. She's done a lot of regression sessions with people. You know, do cover, and they do talk about hybrids and people that have been taken on board and introduced to young humans, which don't actually quite look human. It's a different branch of ufology, which, again, you know, it's changing all the time, and people come in with new theories and opinions, so it's open to debate.
A fast question before we go to book three, and that is with regard to hybrids, people remembering these experiences, and one of the controversial abduction researchers in the U.S., Dr. David Jacobs, has extensively investigated that, and it's been a source of controversy. I can't tell you what our forums are like when he had been on the show. To get to the main point, when people have this experience, and I'm not going to say they're lying, Is it possible they're having an experience, but are interpreting it in a way that differs substantially from what really happened?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that people can interpret things in different ways. You know, you can have an experience. It's just sort of, if people see an accident, a car accident, and you talk to different witnesses who saw the same accident, they can all come back with a different story. And it's probably the same with this. You know, are people really having these interactions? Are they not? You know, where's the evidence? Again, it's down to people really doing sort of regression or, you know, coming forward with their information. Like I said, we're going to keep on turning, you know, lifting rocks and finding new information all the time. We just don't know where it's going to go.
Let's go to book number 3, UFO Encounters Up Close and Personal. What's your focus there?
Yeah, well, the third book, again, is a different approach, again, to ufology, because since I've been in ufology and analyzed images for people all over the world and worked with some great, you know, people in our community, I've got to know an awful lot of people, you know, people who I've looked up to as well and read their books as I've come through my journey. So I just wanted to know how these people got into ufology. You know, what was the cases? What was the experience? You know, did they have a sighting? Did they read a UFO case, a famous case, or was it their own UFO sighting? Well, you know, what was it that actually pulled them into this bizarre world of strangers that were in ufology? And, you know, good on, you know, a lot of people. I'm really humbled, you know, that an awful lot of people got back to me and gave me their cases, how they got into it. And this book breaks down really not something that you would actually sort of know about, you know, about that person. It's often a personal account or sighting. So, you know, it's an interesting read if people want to, you know, get the book.
And it focuses on people, a lot of fascinating people, some of whom have been on the show. Of course, you have Philip Mantle. Jason, of course, would ask about his favorite sighting. Donald Schmidt, of course, is listed here. Bruce Maccabee, Robbie Graham, Kathleen Martin, recognizing that. Ronald Kinsella, Mark Olley, Peter Robbins, a whole bunch of people here. You've heard about or heard on the Paracast, even Klaus Swan was on at one particular point in time. So it's interesting to see these reactions and where they go. And one chapter, the one about Jason, lists the following, and it says here, Jason's favorite UFO case, the real War of the Worlds UFO encounter. And I'm going to ask you about that. Maybe we can detail it. Of course, he's going to want you to buy his book. And that's fine. You know, he's entitled to sell a couple copies of books. And therefore, we're not going to begrudge him that opportunity. But I'd like to know why the word War of the Worlds is being used. Are we dealing with a UFO encounter here that has some hostile aspects to it? Jason Gleaves is joining us this week. Our co-host is Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from 2 mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
USA Radio News.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the military will be deployed to Atlantic Canada to help the province of Nova Scotia recover from post-tropical cyclone Fiona. The storm made landfall there on Saturday. A vast majority are left without power. Trees and power lines are down and buildings severely damaged. Tropical Storm Ian, which is expected to hit Florida as a hurricane next week, has prompted a state of emergency for 24 counties in Florida and another delay for NASA's new moon rocket. A referendum staged by Russia in four Ukrainian provinces, setting up a pretext for annexation, is still being condemned by Ukraine and Western allies. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky urged his countrymen in the occupied territories to undermine the referendums. Jazz saxophonist Pharoah Sanders is dead at 81. This is USA Radio News.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Jason, there has to be a reason why you refer to it as the real War of the Worlds UFO encounter. Why?
You know, obviously starting the book off, I wanted to describe a bit about myself and how I got into ufology. And I mean, I could have chose from an awful lot of cases. You know, in my personal archive, I've got probably over 100,000 UFO photographs and things that I've analysed, and over the years it's got bigger and bigger, and this case really stood out for me, you know, which I analysed a while ago, and people don't know about it, and I say call it the real War of the Worlds. It's just because the images that are actually there look like the craft that are in the War of the Worlds film, you know, where they're coming through, where the old movie where, you know, you can see the craft coming over and they're firing the beams of light down towards the ground, and that's really why I called it that, you know, because that's what it looks like to me. But it was basically two young 19-year-old students, university students in Japan, and it's on the 15th of August in 1972. And they were out walking, as they did quite an awful lot. And they had the camera with them, the old 35mm camera. And they, near a active volcano, in Japan, and they saw this object. It didn't look anything conventional at the time. You know, we're talking back in the early 70s, and it didn't look like a normal aircraft to them, or a helicopter or anything as such, and it was acting in a very peculiar manner. It was flying about erratically, nothing, like you said, that you would put your finger on and say, well, that is an aircraft as such. And it was firing lasers down towards within to this active volcano. And the thing about this case is there are six separate photographs that they took of the craft where it's actually over the volcano. You can see the steam and exhaust coming from the volcano, the active volcano. It's moving all over the sky. You can see by overlaying different images, you can see that it's moving. It's got triangular in shape. It looks very unusual. I couldn't distinguish it myself to any known aircraft. It's just the fact that they said it was so peculiar in its movements is very uncharacteristic of a conventional aircraft.
Did you use, I know your first book dealt with your photo analysis. Did you use your techniques on the on these photographs?
Yes, I did. Yeah, like you said, the first book, The UFO Photo, is where I go into great depth and show people how I analyze images. Just basic that people send me, or, you know, I come across, and I go through the same process with them. You know, I try to get the most original image possible. I say that because if I sent you a photograph of a UFO, then you sent it to a friend, and then a friend sent it to a friend. Each time that photograph will degrade, it will lose the pixelation and quality. So if you can get the most original photograph, you've got the best chance of getting the best image possible. And then I obviously upscaled it to a HD format, so I enlarge it so, you know, it doesn't pixelate as much when you go in to detail. And then I use the filters, etc., and do overlays of certain filters in Photoshop. But Photoshop isn't used to actually change the image as such or manipulate it. It's to use the filters, which again bring out great detail in what we can see, and as you can see in the images in the book, you know, it really do bring out the craft. And again, you can't see any wings or rotors or propellers or, you know, tail fins or anything related to a conventional aircraft. And I just approach this case just like I do with every other case.
I think the interesting thing about, among many, of these photographs are the beams of light that are coming off of this object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're firing down. Well, they're obviously interested in the active volcano. I mean, again, we've got reports from all over the world of UFOs being spotted at all active volcanoes, you know, literally everywhere. It's obviously, is it an entrance to an underground base? You know, do they use the active volcano to get in and out, or is it something else? Are they after minerals or something else? We don't actually know. Again, just opinions, you know, people can speculate on, again, but there is an awful lot of sightings around volcanoes.
I think that these photographs were taken in 1972, so they were taken with a film camera.
Yeah.
So what's the difference when you're trying to work with photographs like this, you know, that were shot on film, as opposed to modern digital photographs? You know, digital photographs are a lot, you know, easier to manipulate, but that also makes them easier to get caught.
Yes, yeah, you know, there's an awful lot of information, again, in digital digital images. You know, they give off resolutions and everything. The information is there, but in the old 35mm format it did actually not show this sort of thing. So, you know, if people are going to fake sightings or what have you, they're probably using pieces of glass to show UFOs. You know, they'll put a piece of glass there with the image on, and again, well, they would use very fine cord or string, etc. You know, there are ways, or they would physically throw an object into the sky. But, you know, this is, you can actually see in these images that it's over the mountain range, the volcano itself in the distance, and the object is there. So they're not actually using that form that we can think of. And if it was a piece of glass, it would have to be a huge piece of glass to get it all in. And he didn't have Photoshop, etc., so they couldn't manipulate the images themselves either. But with the later digital images, yeah, of course, just like you said yourself, you know, these can be manipulated very easily. You know, there's an awful lot of software out there, even on people's phones, you know, on their iPhones or Android, you know, whatever phone they've got, the information, they can actually manipulate it very, very easy. And it does make it hard to distinguish if it's real or fake, etc. But, you know, you've got to try and go with your hunch sometimes. You know, you've got to do your homework before you go into real depth. And again, at the end of the analysis that I do, it can still come back as unidentified, because that is what UFO stands for, unidentified flying object. It'll always stay on unidentified until identified.
And with all the cases that you have worked on over the years, what was it about this circumstance that made it your favorite?
Like I said, it was because there were six separate photographs, and within the photograph itself, you can actually see landscape, sky, you know, which is brilliant. It's great for perspective, so you can actually get distance and height and that type of a thing. And with there being, you know, on the six separate shots, the craft is moving in directions, you know, it's not staying in the same position all the time as described by the witnesses, so it backs up a little bit more of what they actually reported. And you know, with it being an active volcano, and I've seen other cases, you know, where you only have to go on YouTube and you can see where people have even not necessarily filmed, they've got webcam footage where the webcam is constantly on an active volcano, and you can see all kinds of craft going around and into it and out of it, you know. So that was really why I think this one sort of won the day and got into the book, but I could have chose from so many other cases.
We've got so much more to talk about with Jason Jean. And Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jason, Gene, and Tim. Jason talking about what he regards as his favorite sighting, but you've got favorite sightings from a number of people, some of whom we know pretty well. Like Philip Mantle, your publisher, and somebody's been a guest on the Paracast a number of times. What was his favorite?
Yeah, well, Philip, as you know, he's become a really good friend, and he's the publisher of the book Through Flying Press. I had to have Philip in, obviously, because his case that he actually recalls is one that happened in Normanton in the UK in 1980. And this case was during 1980 in Normanton in the UK, and it was one of the first cases that Philip actually went out to report on. So again, it's one that stuck in his mind, and you know, obviously he did actually go back to the site of the sighting of the UFO recently, and he said it hadn't changed much when he went back. Anyway, it was a Mrs. Westerman and her family, 8-year-old daughter, basically ran into the house while she was there, and she was shouting, crying that an aircraft had crashed, landed in a near field where there's electric pylons, etc. And they all went out, basically got to this site and witnessed that there was a huge craft, silver-shaped craft. They've actually landed within a field nearby, and it was in the shape of a Mexican hat, the shape of it. Yet Philip goes into great depth because he recalls that speaking to the witnesses, etc., and what they actually recall seeing, and it was with Mark Birchall, another researcher at the time, he went, and again, the detail in there, you know, reading through the book, that actually, you know, people can read upon that Philip you know, discovered as such through the interview with Mrs. Westerman and the young daughter. But he recently got in contact with the daughter, I think, and recently did another interview with her, and she still sticks by what she saw, you know, at the time, the sighting, and like I said, Philip going back to the site, and it hasn't changed one bit from when he went back there, you know, in the 1980s.
This is one of these cases that, boy, don't you wish that somebody had a camera and was able to take photographs for you to analyze. I mean, it's got so much going for it. I mean, it's got multiple witnesses, a landed craft, you know, beings walking around. Ugh.
Yeah, and again in the book, all the illustrations in the book, I actually did myself, and it was basically through the information given by each witness, you know, each case that had been put forward to me, and they're the images I came up with through each case, and as you can see, there's the large disc-shaped craft, you know, in the shape of a Mexican hat on the ground. You can see the large electrical pylons behind, you know, so, you know, helicopters wouldn't really land there as such, just due to the safety issues of the cables. And, you know, the three separate beings, you know, that were around outside of the craft. And, you know, that's the best I could come up with, because like you said at the time, no one actually took photographs of it. You know, some people do in the cases in the book, but in this they didn't. So the best we could do is come up with an illustration in regards to the information given by the witnesses.
Illustrations you did for this book, and I was going to ask you, you know, who did them? I mean, they're excellent. You did a really great job with those.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, but like you say, it's what I do part of. I'm recently working on a book with Calvin Parker, you know, from the Pascagoula, Mississippi, early 1970s UFO abduction case with Ms. Calvin Parker and Charlie Hickson. Well, I'm basically working on a graphic novel with him that'll be out next year, and I've done all the illustrations through his life without working closely with Calvin. So, you know, again, it's one thing I like to do is try to recreate to the best of my ability a case or a sighting or something. And again, like I said, through this book, through other, you know, people that have, you know, come forward with their cases and et cetera, I've tried to recreate what they saw or what happened, and then I would offer it back to them and say, is that what you saw? And they would say, no, not this, change that, because that isn't quite right. So everything in the book is pretty accurate to every single person, you know, through their case or experience.
Yeah, and this case, it's... You know, even though it's a high strangeness type of case, it's not that uncommon in, you know, the whole realm of UFO reports. I mean, I think, you know, if you could get a computer data bank, you know, with all of these cases into it and put in the various characteristics, you know, landed craft, not a big one, but a small landed craft, beams coming out. I mean, how many similar cases would come, you know, spitting out? Probably in the thousands.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, definitely. You know, but we're just talking about the reported cases. You know, there's an awful lot of cases that people don't report on, or, you know, have actually in past years thought, well, I'm not actually going to report that because people will think I'm mad, or, you know, or in jeopardy of their jobs, etc.
And wouldn't you love to be able to have some kind of knowledge of all of these unreported cases? I mean, I think that what somebody said statistically, there's maybe less than 5% of these kind of cases that are ever reported. So, you know, how much have we lost because people, naturally enough, are afraid to come forward with these bizarre sightings?
Before you mention that, I should quote the often repeated statement from the late Stanton Friedman, who gave lots of lectures. And he'd routinely ask his audience, how many of you have seen a UFO? And a fair number of hands would go up. How many of you have reported or told someone about it? And only a few hands would remain.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it? That's really sad that, you know, it's not actually reported and documented, you know, for people to actually read upon, or, you know, put, you know, their case to somebody else's case to identify, or is it a cross-reference? So there's multiple witnesses that have seen the craft at the same time. Yeah, I think that is quite sad.
Well, and you can't really blame people, though. I mean, you look at the history of UFOs and sightings. I mean, plenty of cases of policemen, airline pilots, military pilots, what have you, you know, people who, you know, would seem to have very credible reputations who come forward with an unusual experience, and they end up being treated like a pariah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and we're talking airline pilots and military personnel and policemen, like we said, you know, they're the perfect observers, you know, it's their job description to be observant, especially a pilot. And again, in past times, not recently, because the pilots are being encouraged to report their findings or sightings or experiences, but in past reports, again, you know, most of them would lose their flying status or end up behind a desk somewhere. So, you know, you're just not going to come forward with an identification or, you know, a case or whatever, just through the fact of, you know, losing that credibility.
I remember there was some show that I remember watching a number of years ago. I think it was on CNN, where they had, you know, like a panel, you know, and a couple people on the panel were the, you know, the skeptics, the debunkers. And one of these guys said that, you know, people in general aren't good observers, and then went on to say, and then somebody pointed out, well, what about, you know, like airline pilots, military pilots, you know, and he goes, oh, well, they're no better, you know, and it's like, oh, no, wait a minute, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
What it means, Tim, is that nobody can be trusted about anything, no description is viable. What do police departments do? Tim, Gene, Jason, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.